Easter, now what? An exposition of John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. This message by guest preacher, our very own Andrew Hoyt, was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday evening, March the 23rd, 2008.
Let's bow in a time of prayer together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great day you have given to us. Thank you for the beautiful weather and just giving us this opportunity to come here and glorify you. Thank you for your matchless and bountiful grace. Help us now to understand what you are calling us to do in light of this Easter season. Help us to continue spreading the gospel to those who have not heard. Thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. There are certain events in our lives that, when we look at them, looking back, they are definitely impacting. They make a difference in who we are. We all have them. They're different for each one of us. Whether they be big or small, whether they be going to your child's first sports event or watching the Super Bowl for the first time. It's different things. And if the event is impacting enough, big enough, you can't help but share it with your neighbor. One thing that comes to mind in my past is that some of you may know this, but not some of you may not. When I was younger, I was in the martial arts. And one event in particular that comes to my mind is when I passed my black belt testing. Now, this was huge. Now, the special thing about that was it wasn't my first time, and it wasn't even my second time to test, but I only passed on the third attempt. Well, let me tell you, the people who knew I took Taekwondo and knew I was in this, they knew about me getting that black belt. And if they didn't hear it from me, they heard it from Mom, because she was there too. You see, with events such as big as that, we can't help but spread it to the people we know. I can even classify different events. There are two types. There are major events, and there are minor. The major events are the ones that are so impacting, so meaningful, that we can't help but be spurred on to some kind of action. But it moves us in such a way that we must act upon it. For example, something that comes to mind is the lives of Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks and how their lives influenced a nation to move on to greater things and influenced the civil rights movement. Also, the horrendous acts of the Holocaust, and just seeing that helps us to look into our own lives and what it is to be depraved. A minor event is something that causes us to feel a genuine emotion. We definitely feel something, but it doesn't last but very long. It may not even last past the day. It's just a momentary feeling. It could be like, I remember when it happened a couple years ago, and at the time it was huge. But when the Boston Red Sox won the World Series for many years, whether they be good or bad feelings, a definite emotion was felt. But the thing is, that same emotion is not there today. I mean, even though it was big at the time, I couldn't tell you whose last year's Super Bowl was. So with these two types of events, as we are now in this Easter season, the biggest event in our Christian faith, how do we view it in our lives? How does it impact us? Is it something that we can't help but be spurred on to some kind of action? Or is it something that we feel an emotion, but yet doesn't last past the door? What do we feel God calling us to do? What is Christ calling us to do with this event, this great resurrection and triumph over death? So as we approach the text, we'll see what Christ is calling us to do. Our text comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21, starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others were also with him. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We are going also." They went out and immediately got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple that Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he had put on his outer garment, for he had taken it off, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but a couple 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fish. Then, as soon as they had come to land, they saw the fire of coals there, and the fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. Although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was Jesus, the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Tend my sheep." He said to him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." John paints this beautiful story for us about the disciples having seen Jesus twice already. Christ had appeared to them twice. And the disciples have gone and went fishing, pastime. You know, fishing is big in Oklahoma. You talk to anybody, everybody knows fishing. So they go and fish. And that night, I don't know if they're bad fishermen or not, but they didn't catch anything. Nothing in the nets. But then we see this great picture of Jesus coming, and in another miraculous event supplies them with the fish they need. And as he serves them on the beach, we see him pulling Peter to the side, and in almost an act of redemption, restores Peter back to him. So as we look at the text, we see that Christ is calling us for three particular things. First, Christ calls us to love. With the actions of when he pulled Peter aside, he asked him three times, "Do you love me?" The first time he may have gestured to the fish in the nets. He may have gestured to the disciples, his friends. But he asked him, "Do you love me more than these material things?" Peter, honestly, genuinely, without thinking, said, "Of course, Lord, you know that I love you." Christ is asking us in our lives, gesturing to the things, the material things we have, "Do you love me more than these things?" Whether it be, you know, our cars or the things at our house or our material possessions. How do they weigh according with the Lord in our lives? Jesus is calling us to love him, because his love for us was so great we cannot begin to imagine it. And this love should not be just an empty love, just an emotion that we feel, but something that should guide us on to an action, which calls us to the second thing. The second, that is, Christ calls us to minister to those around us. We see here the Christ is pointing out the importance of ministering to those. While he was showing the importance of love to Peter, and Peter's genuine response of, "Yes, Lord," we see Christ saying, "Feed and tend my lambs, my sheep." He shows the importance of going out and showing the love of Christ to those around us. Later on, he gives a command to the disciples to go out to the lands around us, to the lands around them, to the country, and to the world, spreading the gospel. For this event that was so meaningful in their lives, the death and resurrection, something that was so important, never before seen, to go and spread this to the people who have not heard. We are called to go out and be ministers to those around us. Not everybody to be a pastor or a missionary, but simply a neighbor. To those who haven't heard this story. To those who simply know Easter as being the Easter Bunny and Chocolate Day, which is a big one at my house, Chocolate Day. But going to those people who have not heard the story and sharing them the truth of the gospel, this great truth of this victorious resurrection, a love that guides us on to minister to those people who need us the most, who need Christ's love and the truth. And all these things, the love for others and the ministering we should have towards them, encompasses the third thing that Christ is calling us to do. Christ calls us to obedience. In a simple word, simple phrasing and a simple word that he uses at the end to Peter, after Peter expresses his genuine love for Christ again, he says two simple things: follow me. Christ sums up how our actions should be towards him and what our lives should be towards Christ. That following Christ and obeying him encompasses all the things we are to do for him, the love we should show to him, and the ministering of others. So as we look at this Easter season, as we see, how do we see it in our lives? What kind of event is it to us? In today's commercialized times of things being revolved around the popular stuff and it being familiar with us, the temptation is for us to forget what it truly meant, this great event in our Christian faith. As it's told and retold and it gets too familiar, it's an easy temptation for it to become a minor event in our lives. See, Christ loves us more than we'll ever know. So what are we to do in response? He calls us to love, to minister, and to obey. So another Easter has come and gone. Now what? Let's pray. Help us and guide us, God, as we seek to obey you. Give us the motivation to continue on the road of obedience. We thank you and we praise you for your merciful and bountiful blessings. In all these things I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.